Hey, y'all. We wanted to share with you some of the fun we've been having over on Patreon.
For this best of, we're bringing you short clips from some of our favorite bonus content to give you an idea of everything you get when you sign up to support the show.
First, we have a clip from a Judge Christie bonus content episode where a husband commits a sin most foul during dinner.
After that, we've got a couple of segments from a relationship advice segment where a Redditor wonders what is happening to their butter, and a segment where a husband says the wrong thing in bed, or is it the right thing? You tell us.
Oh, the butter.
This has lived rent-free in my head since
Not
we did
a
it.
Day goes by that I don't think about that. Oh, my Lord. Then you'll hear us reminisce about COVID lockdown and how it influenced the podcast.
It did indeed. Join us on Patreon today to get ad-free regular episodes, hundreds of hours of audio and video bonus content, on-demand archives of our video live streams, and so much more. You'll also get to be a part of all the fun we have throughout the rest of the year. An annual subscription to our Patreon gets you immediate access to the whole bonus content archive, plus a free month of membership.
And if you're not sure if you want to join, you can sign up for a 1-week trial to binge all the content you want. It's totally free. You can cancel anytime before the trial is up. You can also opt to join for free to stay in the know about what content we're releasing. There's also all sorts of back catalog for free members, and you get access to Sunday Scaries on Patreon that's totally free every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. To try it out, head to the link in the episode description or head to sinisterhood.com and click Patreon in the top banner.
Well, Your Honor, you have a second entry here on the docket today. It is from Cassie. So she writes, to the esteemed Judge Christie of the Sinisterhood Court, petitioner, Cassie, devoted wife and mother, respondent, Zach, husband, an alleged repeated flatulence offender.
Uh-oh.
The nature of the complaint. Petitioner brings forth this complaint seeking relief from the persistent and egregious act of untimely flatulence by the respondent during their sacred evening meal, thereby violating the sanctity of their shared dinnertime ritual. Statement of facts is as follows. 1. Petitioner and respondent have established a cherished nightly ritual wherein they share a post-children's bedtime meal side by side at their respective computer desks, providing valuable quality time for the couple. 2. The respondent, known to be a fast eater, that's her husband, routinely finishes his meal well in advance of the petitioner, who, by contrast, is a more deliberate, slow eater. 3. Upon completion of his meal, respondent often leans back in his chair and proceeds to release flatulence mere inches from the petitioner, who is still actively consuming her dinner. 4. Despite multiple polite yet firm requests from the petitioner to withhold such emissions until after the completion of her meal, the respondent has continued this pattern of behavior, citing excuses such as, quote, I can't help it, or, quote, I didn't know it was coming. 5. Petitioner contends that such excuses are without merit, asserting that the respondent possesses the self-control to refrain from flatulence in a professional, familial, and other public settings, and therefore should be equally capable of such restraint in the presence of his spouse during mealtime. Relief sought. Petitioner respectfully requests that this honorable court find the respondent guilty of negligent mealtime emissions and issue a permanent injunction against such behavior, including but not limited to a formal mandate to relocate to a designated flatulence zone, e.g. hallway or adjoining bathroom, for the duration of petitioner's meal, should the need arise. 2. Mandatory courtesy checks prior to entering the shared dining space. And 3. Any further relief the court deems just and proper. Respectfully, Cassie, please just let me eat my pad thai in peace.
Oh, man. Cassie, I am 100% on your side in this one. And I would like to say the argument of you wouldn't do this in a professional setting is one I use often with things like this. Like, oh, I don't know, the most insane sneezes I've ever heard in my life. And I'm like, if you were at a funeral right now, are you going to just disrupt the whole fucking thing with this? You're probably going to excuse yourself, or sometimes things might sneak up on you. But I feel like with flatulence, like, you usually know it's coming.
Mm-hmm,
you got like at least a few seconds of a heads up, and that's enough to stand up and move away from someone that, especially if they're still eating.
Yeah. You know? I feel like if you're ripping ass that quickly and from the like quick eating, you're damaging something. Like you've
slow down.
That's your body being like, hey, buddy, now hang on there. And also, like, why does he just go for like a little toot walk? Like, he could just like go, even if it's just around the house away from you, that would help move things around. There are studies that show like walking for 10 minutes after eating like reduces your spikes in blood sugar, like helps with digestion, helps with blood flow. It is so good for you and so good for your marriage because your wife won't kill you in your sleep because you farted away her pad thai.
Yeah. My kids, sometimes intentionally, sometimes on accident, just like on my lap. And I'm just like, really, guys? Like if it slips out, I get it.
Yeah.
But they're kids, so that's different. But I don't want to be farted next to, even if I'm not eating, but especially if I am eating.
Because it's,
if you have enough time to lean back in your chair, then that's enough time to get up out of that chair and at least move 5 feet away.
No, I don't think that you should, correct. And I don't think that anyone should be like subjected to fecal particulates in and around their eating situation. And you're right. If you're at like a nice restaurant, even if you're at a dash-in restaurant where it's just, you know, counter service, like a Whataburger, you know, a fast food restaurant, nobody's ripping ass in the dining area. Like, that's
maybe
wild.
I don't know.
I mean, I haven't been in a Whataburger in a while, but like, you know what I mean? Or just like something like that where if they did, I feel like more people would go, oh, than would be like, anyway, you know, I think there people would be kind of like, oh, we're not.
What if it's not noisy?
Oh, if it's like a silent fart?
Yeah.
We were raised, my dad was so like, I don't even know why, but he was like, you need to go to the bathroom to fart. Like we were like a leave the room to, like, he was like, if you are having trouble, that's something that you can go take care of in another room. Like for whatever reason, now I never investigated that, but we were like, sometimes there would be like car farts if somebody couldn't hold it or whatever.
Car farts.
Got to like roll down the window, especially in a minivan. We drove a Dodge Caravan. The windows opened a half inch. They were just like, doom, and like they barely opened.
Pop out.
They just pop out. They were those. So tiny. You're just like trying to breathe out of like a crack. It didn't work. Uh-huh. But for whatever reason, we didn't do that. So now when I started dating someone who with their family, my current husband does not do that. He does not rip ass in front of me. I made it very clear when we first started dating. I was like, I am a fart in the bathroom kind of family. Please do not do anything. He didn't even try. I was like, don't even. But I have dated people previously that like them and their brothers like think it's funny. I'm like, we're in our like late 20s. Yeah. Or like it's like you start to get like it's like beyond. Like we're adults.
I stretch it out to I really don't want any type of bodily stuff happening.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm eating. Like at dinner, the other day I finally said, I'm going to get up because I cannot take what is happening at this table anymore of just burping, chewing with your mouth open, talking with food in your mouth, like anything like that sends me. So
especially sounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also just, you know, if you're eating something and then somebody's like, Homer Simpsoning, you're like, well, now I'm smelling exactly what we just ate, you know, and it kind of turns my stomach. So
I don't want
to. Sometimes you can't help it.
Yeah.
But if you can, get up from the computer chair and go in the other room so your wife keeps that little ritual going, which sounds like a very sweet thing.
Right. I'm like, why do you have to ruin this ritual that we have?
Yeah.
Well, Your Honor, I think our respectful petitioner is hoping for a ruling in her favor.
You're getting one.
So do you would like to give her all the relief that she has been granted, which is a formal mandate to relocate to a flatulent zone, mandatory courtesy checks prior to entering the shared dining space? And is there any other relief that the petitioner is entitled to, in your opinion?
Well, maybe it's like a swear jar, but it's a fart jar. And if you mess up, then you got to put a quarter or maybe more. You know, you're a dollar, adult, so you can bump it up from the quarter. And then you might, you know, stop telling them not to. Because all of a sudden you're like, damn, I got $100 this week.
Right. I think maybe the petitioner can set the penalty amount because only she knows how, like, I can't say if it's a quarter or a dollar value or $5.
And you know what? Bad. Sometimes, there may be a scale. It may be a sliding fee if it's scale. Like
you're just a quarter. And then if it's just like a long one or a lingering, painfully, like the cloud has descended, it's like a $20 bill.
That's
in
a $20 fart right there.
Come on. It's a $20 one, man.
But I definitely think I'm granting you all of the things you asked for, and then I'm also implementing the fart jar.
Thank you. Well, I'm sure she'll...
There we are.
She'll be so happy. Congratulations on your win, Cassie.
Yes, congratulations, and may you live long and prosper in your fart-free house from now
Hopefully.
On.
Hopefully. May you have clean air. Well, this next one is from sent in by Leslie. She's not the OP, but she found it on Reddit. And the subject line is, my 24-year-old female boyfriend, 30-year-old male, keeps disappearing into the bathroom for an hour or more with a stick of butter. And the butter is gone.
Wait a second. How old is he? 30?
30.
24 and 30?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the stick of butter, and it is gone when he finally comes out.
Well...
Here we go.
Buckle up.
I've been dating my boyfriend for 2 years and we finally moved in together. Ever since we moved in, I've seen a new side of him. It's a very odd issue and I can't wrap my head around what to do. At first, I started noticing our butter was disappearing quickly. I assumed maybe I lost track of how much we had or maybe he was cooking when I wasn't around. I don't know. But one night, a few weeks ago, I saw him try to stealthily take a stick of butter from the fridge, which I pretended not to notice, and he took the butter with him into the bathroom. Now, I've noticed my boyfriend spending an hour or more of time in the bathroom since we moved in, but I never saw him take the butter before. I was so confused. When he came out of the bathroom about an hour later, I saw no sign of the butter, but I also saw he did not put the butter back in the fridge. It was gone. Can you imagine if he tried to?
No.
don't put it back.
I can't imagine any of this happening.
I tried to subtly keep an eye on him, and over a week, he did this 3 separate times, and each time, a stick of butter disappeared. Finally, I just said one day, where'd all the butter go? I hardly used any this week, and it's gone. He pretended not to know and said maybe we had forgot to buy it. I said, no, we had 4 sticks before, and now they are gone. He just acted like it was a mystery and said, I guess we should order some groceries. By now, I was getting very confused, so I ordered groceries and I made a point of saying, good to finally have 4 sticks of butter. This should last us quite a while. He made no comment. On the first 2 days, whenever
she knows.
Right? On the first 2 days, whenever I used a small amount of butter, I would remark about how much butter we had left. Finally, one day, I saw him do it again. He took a stick of butter into the bathroom, was gone for an hour or so, and came back with no butter. I couldn't believe it. So when I made dinner, I acted shocked that 1 stick of butter was gone. He said, maybe we only had 3, but he knew I'd been making a point of it. The very next day, another stick of butter, gone. I listened at the bathroom door and heard sink water running and thought I heard moaning noises.
Mm-hmm.
I was so confused. Finally, this time when he came out, I said, I know he's been taking butter into the bathroom. He got all flustered and said, I must be mistaken. But I said I had literally seen him take butter into the bathroom and come out without it, and that I know he's been lying to me about the quantity of butter in our fridge. He then started apologizing for misleading me, but just said, let's just not talk about it. And when he saw I was getting mad, he said, what if I just order my own separate private butter?
Oh God.
I was like, okay, but what are you doing with the butter? He asked me to promise to never ask him about his, quote, butter activities again. And to just put it behind us. He said, just look the other way on this one thing. And stressed how, quote, it's not that big of a deal at the end of the day. I was just like, okay, I guess. But I've been so confused and even disturbed about it. Like, what is he doing with the butter? Why was he lying about it? Why won't he tell me? I don't even think he's eating it because he's not.
No, he's not eating it, girl.
Overweight. And I feel like if somebody ate that much butter, they'd become hefty. But he shows no signs of it. So I'm just like, who is this guy? Am I overreacting? It's just so odd to see him in a different light. I'm not sure what to do. Should I just ignore it? And the top comments were, what the fuck? And then the phrase private butter is so good. So this is the first of, we've got some updates, but I say start with this.
Okay. So you know, I'm sure, maybe what he's doing with it. Here are my guesses. He's fucking it somehow.
Jaying like, off with it?
Yeah, like, the thing is,
a whole stick,
cold
though.
Butter is like, you know, it's not gonna, unless he's like using it on his hands, but I was thinking maybe he was like making a little thing out of it and J-O-ing that way. Essentially like, just effing it.
You think make spinning the butter end to end into a circular situation, perhaps, like a donut,
yeah,
that he could then put it. I was thinking peen butter, like side by side, like two trees planted next to one another. And you mush them and then, but I don't really know how that would work. I guess you'd have the butter in the palm of your hand and then go up and down like it was a corn cob.
Yeah.
You're trying to butter a corn cob.
Yeah. An hour. First of all, to spend an hour in the bathroom that often.
That many times a week is that, like, what that else are you doing?
In and of itself is enough reason to question someone. Like, what are you doing in there? I'm concerned. This is bizarre that you're doing this. Butter isn't cheap. And also, what are you doing with it? Here's my second guess. He's shoving it up his butt.
Yeah, the poop chute. When you said, I think he's forming it into, and I was like, a butt plug? Because it's kind of like shaped like that already, but yeah.
And if it's cold, because warm butter, it's going to be hard to get it up there.
It's all over
cold
the place.
Cold butter. Also, where are the wrappers going?
Because
he's
got
to unwrap that butter. It's not going in the trash can.
I didn't think about that. He's got to pull him out later. That's why he's in there an hour. He starts with it, and then he has to sit there and pass the paper back.
Or he eats it to get rid of the evidence. Or he has a whole, like, somewhere she's going to find just a tub of butter wrappers. God, what a discovery.
It's like the person with the garlic bucket. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the update. This morning, I said, look, yes, you should buy private personal butter for your activities. But I said, I need to know what you are doing with the butter. He got very quiet, and then he said, fine, I'll tell you just this once. And he told me. He told me. He told me everything. I was so mortified and confused. I cannot tell you what it is, but I will say it is
Fuck you. Have to.
I will say it is a sensual activity, extremely sensual. It is definitely an inappropriate use of butter. I cannot even type what it is due to how graphic it is. So based upon that, what do we think?
How graphic it is. Well, I mean, I guess graphic is subjective. I think it'd be pretty graphic to shove a stick of butter up your ass.
That's pretty graphic.
If it's, I think you like, that's what most people are expecting. So to reveal that wouldn't be that shocking.
It has to be like, I think it would have to be multiple holes for it to like be super shocking. Like, do you like put it in your mouth first and then, I don't know. Or maybe it is the donut thing and she doesn't want to talk about it because we nailed it.
But an hour too.
Yeah.
Because he has to use the whole stick.
Yeah.
So it takes a minute.
Well, the rest of the update, she says, on the one hand, it's just butter. But on the other hand, I can no longer see him in the same way.
No.
I'm staying at my parents. To make matters worse, a friend of his found the post and sent it to him saying, LOL, this must be about you. I guess he used to do it in college, too, and he's furious. And now other people I know in real life know that he does something with butter. He's angry at me for, quote, exposing his butter-based proclivities. Now I've probably ruined my relationship and everyone knows my business, causing me shame and humiliation.
You're not the one that should be shamed or humiliated.
No, I can't believe what he does with butter, though, and
I can't believe it's not butter.
No, I can't believe it was butter in his asshole. I don't think I can be with someone who does things like that. I consider it a momentous fuck up for me to have ever confronted him about it. This is my mistake because I can never unknow what I know.
Yeah.
TLDR, that's true. I confronted my boyfriend and discovered his sensual activity, and now our relationship is over. The top comment was, what is it? Does he shove it up his butt? Does he like shove it up his butt and in his mouth and then back in his butt? Like, what's so bad about it?
Yeah, that's I feel like if you put something like this on the internet, you're required by law to tell everyone the answer when you find it out.
Yeah. Someone said, that's ridiculous that you'll go this far but not say what it is.
You're edging all of us. We're all edging and going to have butter. To go get our own butter now because we don't know what the answer to this is.
I was like, I only want to know what you did with
it's
it.
It's like the olives in the box in the fridge.
Yes. What were they for?
Man, I think that he's not being as sneaky as he thinks. If this is now the second person that he's lived with that very clearly knows he does this. The college guy too. Imagine like your college friends know that a couple times a week you disappear into the bathroom for an hour with an entire stick of butter.
Yeah, that's you're spending too much time in the bathroom if more than just your spouse, significant other, roommate knows. Like if it's people across your life story and you're not like, listen, as a person who struggles with like IBS like symptoms, I get it. Sometimes we have to spend time in the bathroom. But this was like he was planning to go in the bathroom and spend his time in there. Yeah, for sure. Well,
his mom, they've got to know. You think she didn't see the sticks of butter going missing during his teen years?
She's all the time. We bought stock in Land O'Lakes because of how much butter we had to buy. Truly, though, I think another one where you just have to go. You and your butter are going to be happy together, and we've got to just shut this down.
I feel like the fact that it's a stick and not a tub is telling to whatever the nature of the activity is.
If it was a tub of margarine and he was just like carving a hole out of
like
the middle.
Like apple pie and...
Yeah.
Apple pie in it.
He's just going to town with that margarine. He's like, it has to be real butter. I don't like any... With oil in it, it has to be the full fat of the calf.
God, I'm just trying to think what he would do with it. I mean, up the butt is probably the most logical. But I feel like there's got to be more to it for it to be so mortifying. She wouldn't just say that.
Yeah, or she's a huge prude. I don't know.
Yeah.
So what? Maybe. He shoves it up his pooper. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't want that to happen to my butter.
But why an hour? Because it has to, maybe he puts it up there cold. His body, oh, no.
I bet it's, well, here's the thing.
No, that couldn't be.
If you introduce, sorry, everybody, but let's just work through this. If you introduce, even if it's straight from the fridge, a cold stick of butter to the warm cheeks of a human anus, and you start to go for it, it's going to all melt right away.
That's what I think.
I think he likes to do it piece by piece. I think he's putting it up there.
Piece by piece.
That's what the
Kelly Clarkson song was about.
Yeah, little by little, it's just going, slowly I turn, step by step, inch by inch, and I think the butter's going up that way.
I wonder if he... Oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying this. What if he puts it up his butt as a whole stick? And then the reason he's in there for so long is because it has to completely melt and exit his body for his ritual to be finished. But during that time, something's going on.
Honestly, I think that you're right. Because if you did stick a whole stick of butter up your ass and then and medical professionals who follow us, first of all, what's up?
Please let us know.
But I think there's the outside BH, booty hole, that closes, that keeps stuff from going out or allows things in. And then there's like a second thing up there. So there's like a chamber for this butter to sit in. So I'm thinking he's going in the first exit hole. The exit hole closes, it marinates and does its thing, and then you can't walk around like that because the second you sneeze you're gonna have an entire pants load look like you got the fucking thing at the movie theater went nuts and sprayed all over the back of your pants trying to get your butter, you know,
you just
oiled up
and fall.
Yeah. You've injured yourself. He's like, listen, I have to take the full hour or I can't break another elbow.
No.
Okay.
No.
I can't live like
that. I'm doing this for you. I got to clean up so you don't come in here and crack your head open because you slip and fall.
I'm keeping this family safe.
Oh, man. But the part that I'm grappling with is if the butter melts and then comes out, what's the next step or what's been happening while the butter is up there? Because it's kind of like a suppository situation.
Yes.
So you're going to have to like clench or, you know, he's obviously not laying on his side if he's in the bathroom. No. I mean, it sounds like he probably has it down. I'm also wondering how healthy this is for some, like, I don't know that you should be doing that. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know.
I don't think you should be having something that's like, unless it helps him with like, but it sounds like it's sensual. I was going to say, like you said, like a suppository. He's like, well, it's naturally, it helps me if I'm constipated. But it sounds like, I mean, she said it was a sensual, sexual thing. So it does not for, maybe that's
just. Well, I've
just
got a lot of gross ideas that.
Throw them in the chat, y'all.
I wish I hadn't thought about. And if any of them are what he said to her, I would also feel like I wish I hadn't confronted him because I can never unknow that. But I would definitely probably have to leave the relationship.
You got to get out.
I can't just sit in the other room knowing what's going on in there. And then we all just like have a dinner like nothing happened.
Like, I'll put on this hour-long episode of a docuseries and see you afterwards, honey. And he's like, don't open the door. Yeah. I'm out.
I'm out. That's one that's going to stick with me. No pun intended.
Well, thank you very much for sending that one in to us, Leslie. This final one, like I said, I found it. And the subject line is NSFW, my 31-year-old female husband, 33-year-old male, and I haven't been the same since he moaned something strange during sex. How do I approach this? Throwaway account because people we know use Reddit and I don't want them to know about our sex life. My husband and I have been married for almost 2 years now and nothing like this has happened in our relationship before. We've always been very open with each other as we both like to hash out problems before they escalate. One of the first things that drew me to him was his brutal honesty. We have also had a pretty regular and healthy sex life, never having problems with infidelity or anything of similar vein. In short, our relationship is more or less perfect, until the other night. My husband and I were going at it when he said something pretty strange. Everything was normal until I heard him moan, "Ooby dooby."
You could have given me 100 guesses and I would have never guessed Hooby Dooby.
Right. Hooby Dooby. At first, I thought that I had misheard him, but no, he completely froze and looked mortified. I was just confused. Mood ruined. I asked him about it, but all he did was take his pillow and leave. I knew
he left the room?
I knew he was going to sleep on the couch, which isn't something he's had to do since we first moved in together. Not going to get into that. We spent the night apart, and in the morning, we went about our routines as normal. When he got home from work, I tried to bring it up, but he pretended not to hear me and kept watching TV. It's been a couple days, and I haven't brought it up since. However, there's been an air of awkwardness between us, and I don't think we can truly move past this without discussing it. I was hoping he'd be the one to bring it up first, but that hasn't been the case. I don't know what Hooby Dooby means. I have theories about it maybe being an anime character as he enjoys watching that kind of stuff, but to me, it doesn't sound like someone's name. If anyone knows what or who Hooby Dooby is or has any ideas on how to approach this with them, please let me know. Thank you.
Man.
There is an update, but let's discuss first.
Okay. Hooby Dooby. I mean, I would certainly immediately Google that in every iteration I could find.
I tried to Google it. There's not a general like, oh, this is a famous catchphrase from this television show. Nothing that pops up. There's like Shooby Dooby or Ooby Dooby. Like there's little like almost but not quite. So it's someone's like, is your husband a Sim? This seems like Simlish. Like it's like a weird thing to say. Or she was at a loss.
I mean, the only other thing I was like, maybe it was like a pet name in another relationship, which would be a terrible pet name.
Yeah.
But like he was calling out for someone else accidentally, which yeah. would be easy to gloss over because nobody knows what Hoobie Doobie is. So you don't have to say, that's what I called my ex.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to moan someone else's name, you just have to condition yourself for like a weird catchphrase. Mm-hmm. That way, if it accidentally pops out. Well,
but
her
you
update,
gotta talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's these things, like if you don't, it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
So
ruin
just
it.
Talk about it. If you said you had a sexy health life.
A sexy health life or healthy sex life.
That's what I meant to say.
Maybe they have both, baby.
My brain broke. Then
Hoobie Doobie does
like
that.
You can, yeah. Bring it up. Hoobie Doobie. Maybe it becomes a new thing.
Maybe it does. Well, she confronted him. Her update. First of all, I'd like to say thank you all for the helpful and funny comments. They showed me the humor in this situation. Now, the moment you've all been waiting for. What is Hoobie Doobie?
Thank you.
She's not doing us like that, butter bitch.
Mm-mm.
Last night after dinner, I sat down with my husband and brought it up. I reassured him that it was nothing to be embarrassed about and that I was just curious. He was reluctant to share at first, but it didn't take long for him to open up. For context, my husband is in a bowling league and he goes bowling with his friends every other week. While he does this, I stay home and I have some girlfriends over, so I don't know much about what goes on. As it turns out, he's been thinking of bowling to stop himself from arriving early.
Oh.
And Hoobie Doobie is his bowling catchphrase, which isn't something that I knew existed.
So if he like gets a strike, he's like, Hoobie Doobie.
I think so. She said,
damn.
At first I was surprised, but then it turns out to be hilarious. And we both laughed about it. Safe to say, I've never loved this man more. Also, it wasn't Hoobie Doobie that compelled me to make this post. It was his reaction. I would never let the words Hoobie Doobie ruin our wonderful marriage. Again, I can't thank you all enough for the kind words. Hoobie Doobie to all and to all a good night.
Oh, see what happens when we talk about our problems? Mm-hmm. Everything gets worked out.
Open communication.
So he said the quiet part out loud.
Yes.
He was like,
locked in,
trying
just
to do
like
pins in his head. And he's yes. like, Hoobie Doobie, Hoobie Doobie, not yet.
So it was his, his own little tactic came out accidentally, but it's very nice that he at least was being thoughtful. And
yes.
But I probably was embarrassed.
Oh, because you know what it means. It's also yeah. nonsense words. Yeah. So you're immediately like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm yes. going to the couch. I can't handle it.
Yeah, you can see why he wanted to immediately retreat. But you're right.
Yes,
I'm glad
yes,
it was.
Yes.
You don't have any. It's not like if you don't tell me what Hoobie Doobie is, I'm going to divorce you. It's like, let's just, you don't have to be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be on the same page. So now we all know what a Hoobie Doobie. Hoobie Doobie Day.
It's probably an inside joke or now an outside joke
yeah.
in their relationship.
It sounds like something that would be like from a 40s pop song of like,
yeah.
that's my Hoobie Doobie less.
Yeah.
I'm a Hoobie Doobie man.
Hoobie Doobie. Did you see the tits on her?
It's like what a cartoon wolf would say
yes.
when a nurse would walk by.
Hoobie Doobie.
Yeah, exactly. Man, the funny thing is, what if he gets... he's like gonna reverse engineer mm-hmm. himself. So now when he goes bowling and he makes a strike and he's like, Hoobie Doobie, he's like, boy, like, oh no.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
They're like, Jerry, we gotta talk to you about these erections that yeah. keep popping up during bowling night.
Listen, we love that you hit strikes, but you've got to stop because people are getting offended.
And you got to stop calling it your 11th pin. All right.
He's like, I'm going to get the missus to knock this one home, this one down when I get home. Hoobie Doobie.
Are there 10 pins in bowling?
There are.
Okay. I was
Hell
hoping
yeah.
that joke was right.
Hell.
It was accurate.
Yes.
Well, man, what a lineup those were.
Yes. Thank
I'm
you,
I'm reeling.
From sending them in. And when I saw Hoobie Doobie, I fell the fuck out. And I was like, I've got to hear Christy Wallace laugh at Hoobie Doobie.
I would have never guessed that, but now I'm going to say it.
It sounds like what Adam Sandler calls sex. I want to take you back and do the Hoobie Doobie with you.
Yeah. It sounds like
honestly,
a dance
would.
You would learn yeah. in like a swing class. They're like, we're learning the foxtrot and the Hoobie Doobie tonight. Mm-hmm. So grab your partners.
My grandmother and grandfather met at a dance in 1943 because he was teaching her the Hoobie Doobie. It's see, much like the toaster hoax, it's going to be like a new truth that we've created.
Yeah.
Hooby doobies, well, what you yell.
All of you get to share in it with us, and hooby dooby to us all.
May you have a hooby dooby day.
All righty. Well, Courtney asks, is there anything you miss about early days of COVID? Despite how scary, stressful, and unknown everything was, I sometimes feel nostalgic for how things slowed down. I can't see the rest, and how we all figuratively came together. I do miss that. It's hard because in hindsight, like knowing how long it lasted, it's harder to be nostalgic. But like at first, when it was like, this is just going to be a little bit, it was kind of nice to be like, oh, well, here's where we have more family time. Or for people that, you know, were like, I'm going to take up painting or whatever. And just like, because you had more time at home or you got to work remote. But then it slowly turned into, this is a living hell. But yeah, that the first part, I would say after the first couple of weeks, because the first couple of weeks, I think I mentioned this on an episode the other day, I like couldn't wrap my head around it. And it was almost like a dream state. Like I just couldn't accept that, like, of what we were all being asked. So I kind of disassociated for like a month. And then I was like, oh, I can come up with fun things for Ella to do. I was also pregnant, which wasn't the best. But yeah. I got to sit around a lot more without being judged because I didn't have anywhere to go.
That's true. There wasn't a lot of like social obligations you had to turn down because it was just like everything. But everything, you're right. I think I miss, the only time I miss of it was like the first 2 weeks before anybody got sick around here. You know, it hadn't really, although I maintain that my boss brought it back from New York and gave half of us in our office COVID. He was coughing so loudly and he just got back from New York like that week, like that, like a month or two before. It was crazy.
Go home.
Dude, but the rest of us, we would get told to go home, but I'm like, you could sit here and cough. But those like first 2 weeks, because Paris and I had been dating for right around a year and we were getting close, like maybe we'll like take it to
been
the next
a year.
Well, we started dating in April of 2019, and so March of 2020 he was like, I said like, oh, do you want to like come quarantine for me? It's only going to be 2 weeks. And then that's the 2 weeks,
and now they're married. That's how you lock somebody down in lockdown. Everybody,
global pandemic. That's how I got my man.
We gotta start another pandemic. Please don't. I can't do another one.
Yeah, you're right. And then it started getting worse and worse. Where you're like, oh my gosh, like I can't watch all the horror. It's almost like it is now, where you're just watching so many people in so much pain. And like, I literally am prohibited from even going out to help. Or if I do help, am I going out and making it making everything worse? So that helplessness and stuff, that was the worst.
It was really hard not performing too.
Yes. And it sucked. It sucked to have things go from being postponed, like the Dallas Comedy Festival, it just got postponed to like, we will never have that place again. Mm-hmm. And like that gutting stuff. So I'm like, I want to go back. It was great because it did take so much from us.
Let's all take a pour one out for that one. Cheers. Cheers, so buddy. Wait, you're going to cheers me.
My Hank Hill cup.
Can't get it. I can't do what I was trying to do.
I didn't realize it was such like a millennial thing to boomerang on Instagram, other than I know my friends and I have and have done it for like 15 years. So in saying it out loud, it makes sense. But I've seen it on like making fun of millennial videos. It's like millennials love to do boomerangs. And I'm like, I do love to do boomerangs.
Is that what that is? I guess. Yeah.
No. This was us just cheering. I'm talking about like doing it similarly on Insta, but.
And having it reverse.
I like it, man.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I was missed the boat on like getting in when I understood that stuff.
Oh, and like Instagram? Like trendy? Yeah.
Or yeah, like boomerangs and all that. I feel like I just was like older to where I didn't really get it. Maybe it's that's just me.
It's a curse.
And right before everything shut down, the Dallas Comedy Festival, which is the best time of the year, was like coming up. So it was extra hard to stomach that like we weren't going to have that. But then it was like, oh, now this place has closed. Like, it was such a huge part of our lives.
Like, it wasn't even the just the festival. Because at first we're like, oh, it's just the festival. Then it was like, oh, it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I feel like we got to focus on the show a lot more. So,
oh, yeah, for sure. You know, and it was like, you guys were all such a blessing, because it's like you and I had each other, but also we had a community beyond ourselves, because we could do the live Q&As and we could like chat on, you know, feel like you have, is anybody out there kind of like, because we're all locked inside. So thank y'all for being around. And if you weren't, you can go back and listen to those episodes where we're like, maybe it's only 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Which in hindsight, gosh, how could it have even been? I realized because I was focused on the questions, I haven't been looking at the chat. So
yeah, we got the chat going.
What's going on over here?
What's up?
People loved Picnic. I don't remember. I don't know what that was.
I did not.
COVID TikTok, like- Gina, I totally agree. COVID TikTok was peak TikTok. And that was when everybody kind of took off. Mm-hmm. Like, COVID made a lot of careers for people.
Oh, definitely. Content creators online and building stuff like that. And making TikTok itself its own, like, place and ecosystem and, like, refuge beyond, like, Facebook and people we knew. It was, like, how we went out and, like, almost, like, going out into public.
Mm-hmm.
I like it because of
Melanie
that.
Said she just re-listened to the Bell Witch live show at DCH. That was a really fun one.
Man, that was a good time. That was a good time.
COVID Sinisterhood lives hit different. I feel like, yeah, because like you said, everybody was collectively going through something no one had ever gone through, and it was traumatic and weird and isolating. So there was like a feel about it. So I can understand the nostalgia coming back of more of like the closeness that we all had. It's kind of like, honestly, like, post 9/11 in the like right after, where everyone was like America and just, you know, all in it together. But then things changed,
right? Everybody was like, you know, we're all gonna cheer at 7 p.m and a lot of unity, certainly. And you're right. And then things changed.
If you liked what you heard, consider supporting the show on Patreon by clicking the link in the episode description or heading to sinisterhood.com and clicking Patreon in the top banner.
Thanks so much for listening, and keep it creepy.